It's Tammy Lawrence of Symbolisti here. Welcome to the I'm Still Here, Messages from the Other Side podcast. This is a group that no one wants to join, but unfortunately, we will all be in this club at some point in our lives. We discuss the grief journey and receiving messages from the other side when our loved ones let us know that they are still close. Together, we will learn to navigate to the other side of grief while still being here. Hello, everyone. Today we're speaking with Pradeep Sangha. He is widely known as the strategist for businessmen. He teaches men how to become the complete man and experience complete victory to have it all in life. Pradeep uses proven methods from neuroscience, performance psychology, and ancient spiritual teachings to help men become the mindful alpha male, men who are bringing the complete package. Hello, Pradeep.
Hi, Tammy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. How are things going in your world today?
Oh, things are actually pretty good. Yeah, it's I guess at this time that we're recording, it's fall is coming close here, and it's the change of the season. It was pretty hot here in Ontario, and it's cooled down a little bit, which is kind of nice. But my daughter was also saying, you know what, I miss summer already.
It's true. I would like to get a few more weeks out of summer myself. It would be kind of nice to have.
Yeah, exactly.
I noticed on one of your recent Facebook posts, you put something about mental health and being mental health is kind of a taboo topic. Could we discuss that a little bit?
Sure. I think mental health in general has been a topic that people have avoided, but it's becoming more mainstream now, especially since COVID. It is actually one of the main focuses for a lot of corporations, which have an impact, a direct impact on the general public, because majority of people are employed in some way, shape, or form. So now employers are understanding that mental health is very important for the sustainability of their business, and they're actually willing to do something about it. And as a result, I've seen a lot of employers actually boost their support, for example, their employee assistance programs. Prior to COVID, for example, they didn't have any, some of them had reimbursement for counselors or mental health. A lot of them did not. So a lot of them are actually including that now, and they're actually bumping up their limits. So this is a really good sign for everybody out there, because now there's a lot more resources available. It's become more mainstream and people are having effective conversations, which means that people are more open to sharing their challenges. So when I talked about taboo, it is still taboo in a way, specifically for men as well, because men don't like to admit that they're going through challenges. For women, you know, I'm not going to generalize, but for the majority of cases, the support network is there for a lot of women because they tend to talk to each other a lot more, where men don't. So it's tougher for men to open up and share whether they're going through anxiety, depression, whatever it may be, even challenges in their relationship or in their job or career. And that is having a negative impact. And there's just yesterday, I had received calls from three different gentlemen. And usually we don't receive calls three at the same, basically same day. It's typically three a week, specifically around burnout. And these gentlemen were prospective clients. They just reached out. They saw some of our posts. They saw some of our work and said, each one of them basically said, I am a successful business owner, but I am burnt out and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to get past this and I am afraid. So that just tells us that A, it's a good thing that people are actually proactively reaching out, but there's a lot of people out there that still aren't. For every guy, for every one gentleman, actually, I would say just from our general research and stats that reaches out, there's about 8 or 9 that don't. So there's a lot of people out there that need that help.
Absolutely. I can fully relate to this idea of burnout. Before COVID, I was feeling exactly that. I was feeling burnt out. And actually, I was probably one of the few that thought, oh, good, I can have a little bit of a rest from my weekly schedule with having the time out with COVID. But now we're back into it. And I went back in thinking, okay, I better not get myself burnt out this time around. So how do you direct people to not or to rebalance themselves in this idea of being burnt out? How are you going to help these people who contacted you?
Well, there's different types of burnout. There's mental burnout, there's physical burnout, there's emotional burnout, there's burnout in terms of just not being interested in what you're doing anymore. So the motivational burnout, for example. So there's the first thing is being aware that you're getting close to the point or you are on the path of eventually becoming burnt out. That is one thing that can save a person, is actually not hitting what I call the brick wall in the first place. Because once you hit the brick wall, it's a lot harder to come back. Because now you've conditioned yourself to be in that state. You've conditioned yourself to be in a state of anxiety, a state of depression, lower energy, whatever it might be. Now your body is used to it. And you don't want your body to be used to it. So be aware of the initial signs. For example, there's a period of time when I went through depression myself. I was, I believe, around 19 years old, and I went through some significant depression. And I know the signs now of when I'm feeling like, okay, that could be a potential. May not be a day or two from now, maybe a month or a couple of years down the road, but I could see some patterns, and I automatically say, okay, how do I break out of this? So being aware is the first step. Secondly, is to reach out for help or get resources in terms of things that you can do to actually not burn out. And burnout, essentially this, if you get this point, you will understand what burnout is essentially you are expending more energy than you are actually taking in. So energy out is greater than energy in. And a simple way of avoiding burnout is actually doing things that energize you, doing more of those activities and doing less of the activities, or reprioritizing the activities that are actually using a lot of your energy. So one of the big things that I see is with burnout is people are not doing things that they enjoy, or not doing enough of them, because that enjoyment will actually give you more energy. So the activities, the hobbies that you may have, going out and going for a walk or bike riding or socializing, whatever it is, go out and do those things, because that's very important. Social interactions are actually another one. We absorb and we give off energy based around the people that we have in our social circle. So hang around with people that have positive energy, that are optimistic. That is a key factor for keeping out of burnout. And then on the flip side is take a look at what you're actually doing that's using up a lot of your energy. And a lot of the times, a lot of that stuff doesn't actually add value to your life. So if you are going to work, for example, my wife is a nurse practitioner. She works in an oncology ward at Sunnybrook Hospital. She leads a transition clinic there. And she's seeing people deal with cancer day in and day out, and people die. That takes up a lot of her energy. She's not leaving that job, but she has to minimize how she actually interacts during that 12-hour day that she has. So she has to be very conscious in terms of where she puts out that energy, because she can put out a lot more than she's taking in, and that will lead her to burn out during that day. So those activities, as well as you might be doing things that you don't have to do, hanging around with people that you don't have to hang around with, or you can minimize interactions with, that are bringing you down. So a classic example, there may be family members that you have that are just not very positive and more negative, and that will have an emotional drain on you. So all of these things, or you may be in a relationship like that and may have to reevaluate your relationship. All of these things have an impact on your energy levels. And it's important to just make it very simple in terms of the formula. Take in more energy than you're actually putting out there. And if you do that on a daily basis, you can avoid burnout. The biggest thing to understand about burnout is that once you hit that brick wall, sometimes you can't come back. There are people that we work with. Majority of our clients, 90%, are actually men, high-performing men, career men, CEOs, Fortune 500 CEOs, entrepreneurs, successful people, or they're on the path to wanting more success. And some of them have hit a brick wall where they've had a stroke, heart attack, panic attacks. And for example, some of the gentlemen who have had a stroke have been told by their doctor now they cannot push themselves past a 6 out of 10 when it comes to a stress level. So they can't even do the things that they wanted to do, or the things that they used to do before, because it could cost them their life now. Mm-hmm. So this is a very strong caution. It's a very strong warning for the people out there that are dealing with burnout. Deal with it now before you hit the brick wall. And it's not that difficult to do when you actually focus on that and put some intentional effort towards it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's some great information there. And I think this brings us full circle to back to this idea of grieving and getting through the grieving journey. A lot of times when people go through grieving, the last thing that they want to do is to interact with other people or even know what their hobbies would be, what they would enjoy. They've kind of lost all of that because they've hit that brick wall either with a health crisis or the loss of someone significant in their lives. So how do they bounce back from that when you have hit that burnout wall and now you can't leap over it at this point? You have to kind of face it and then move through. What advice would you have for them?
The first thing I would say is that understand that that's a normal part of the process, that you will go through that phase. It's important to understand your feelings and it's important to actually feel that and not avoid it, because when you avoid it, you keep that energy and that energy will hold you back from actually transitioning through faster. And it is a transition. That's essentially what it is you are going from one phase of your life to another phase, that one chapter to another chapter. And you're in the process of flipping that page or those pages. And that requires intention. That requires attention. That requires energy for you to do that. One of the things that happens when you go through a grieving phase is you're very low energy. That's essentially what ends up happening. You get drained of energy and things feel like a chore that normally didn't. Relationships feel like a chore. You don't feel automatically, when you're low energy, your body is low energy and you're not producing the right hormones or the right neurochemicals, and you're not digesting food properly, especially if you're low energy and not eating effectively and taking care of your body. That's a combination effect. So you need to understand that this is a process and you will get through it, right? That old saying, this too shall pass. You will get through it and you will get stronger as a result of that. Any difficulty or any challenge that I have in life, I always ask myself, how do I learn from this? How do I get past this? How do I become a better person and live a more fulfilling life? And so everything in life can be a challenge, can become a challenge at any moment. And we need to understand that. There's an old story where it's told in many different cultures, but it's around the principle of a grieving mother, for example, went to a prophet and said, you know, I just lost my child. I'm going through this process. I do not know what to do. And I believe my life is over. And that prophet basically told this woman to do one thing: knock on every door in this village and ask that person, have they ever lost someone in their life? Have they ever gone through a challenge? And she did. And she didn't find one single household where they hadn't lost someone, a close relative or whoever it was, and hadn't gone through that process. So knowing that it is a part of life and understanding that is very important. Keeping your energy levels high. And I'm a little bit biased because I'm very much about high performance. I'm very much about when you get kicked off the bowl, the quality of your life is dependent on how fast you get back on. Because we all get kicked off the bowl. And if you get up faster, you are more likely to have a more fulfilling life. Because we're going to continuously get kicked off the bowl. It's not just one time in our life that it's going to happen. It's going to happen all the time. So how do you get back into that? There's things like routines. Get back into your normal daily routine. Exercise routine, eating healthy. The one thing that keeps me sane, the one thing that brought me out of the depression was a routine. Exercising on a regular basis. Actually going out and hanging out with friends again. Eating healthy, doing the things that I enjoy doing. So that simple process, even though you might not enjoy it at first, but know that a routine will help you actually break out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And like you said, force yourself. My best friend who passed away, she used to say, life hasn't even started to mess with you yet to the younger folks. And it's true. It's that getting knocked off the bull, because it's going to happen. We can't deny that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can you speak about mindfulness in this process?
Oh, mindfulness is by far the best and most important thing that I think every person should practice on a daily basis. Here's why I know this. We actually have an entire research team that focuses on high performance. And part of high performance is making sure that you can perform at a high level continuously and avoid burnout. But more importantly, live a more fulfilling life. because there's no point. We call it the performance achievement fulfillment framework. There's no point in performing great if you're not going to achieve the things you want and ultimately not be fulfilled. Life is about being fulfilled. It's about experiencing life to the fullest. And so mindfulness actually helps people do this. So research has shown now, and so the highest risk jobs out there, the highest risk careers, for example, military, Navy SEALs, firefighters, police officers, here's what they've shown through research. The number one thing that can help them perform at a better level, help them from an increase from a job satisfaction perspective, perform better, is mindfulness practices. So there's a scientific, backing to support this, because what mindfulness does is actually makes you more aware. It makes you more intentional in terms of experiencing life, taking in the sensory information. And that's very important, because a lot of people, when they go through the grieving process, they feel numb. And mindfulness actually helps you not feel numb. It's all about sensing. It's all about feeling. And it's very important to do that as you're going through the grieving process. And so I've been practicing mindfulness for over 30 plus years. My grandfather was a very spiritual man. He was also in the military for 3+ decades. And so he showed me a world of both war and a world of spirituality, because his father, my great-grandfather, was a spiritual teacher in India for almost 6 decades. So I grew up with a lot of these principles of meditation and mindfulness, and I started to practice them at a very young age. I saw the benefits at that period of time, because it's not like life was great at that age either. I had an alcoholic father who was a great father when he was sober, but when he drank too much, it just became very scary because he was a big man as well. And he wasn't the man that we knew when he was sober. And so mindfulness was a way for me to actually cope with that, to deal with that, become stronger. And as a result of mindfulness practices / meditation practices / other practices, spiritual practices, I became very resilient. I became very high performing as well. I also stepped into this role of helping other people at a very young age. I was managing employees at 16. I became a personal trainer at 17, was a tutor through my academic years and then in the corporate years, and then now have an advisory firm. And I attribute a lot of that to mindfulness practices, because I'm a firm believer that mindfulness practices not only enables you to perform better and live a more fulfilling life, but it allows you to tap into this universal genius, this universal consciousness that we have, that we all have the ability to tap into. This is the ability to create our life. This is the ability to get information that we don't normally get, and we kind of feel blocked. When you practice mindfulness, you will have these moments of what I call genius, these moments of insight that it's like an aha moment where you're like, okay, that problem there that I have, now I know how to solve it, or at least I have some options to solve it. So mindfulness is extremely important. 8 minutes a day of meditation has been shown to restructure the brain and help. Mindfulness practices can be just very short practices. It could be a minute to even an hour long if you decide to throughout the day. But I highly encourage everybody to do that. And one of the core principles of mindfulness practices and even meditation or other practices that have been practiced in the Eastern culture for thousands of years that the Western culture has now adopted and has now used research to show that a lot of these actually work, such as, for example, yoga. All of these principles have one thing in common, and that is breathing. Your breath. And if there's one practice that you can do to help yourself get through grieving, get through the tough times, perform better, whatever it may be, it's breathing. Breathing intentionally with attention and deep breaths, for example, you will notice how things significantly change.
Absolutely. And the mind follows the breath. So if we're in a state of anxiety and stressors, if we're holding on and breathing shallowly, the mind will be reflected with that. If we have a nice elongated deep breath, again, the mind will calm and you'll have more clarity. Could you give an example of or teach listeners one way that they could use mindfulness beyond breathing?
Yeah. So there's a simple thing. You could take just a simple pen, for example. I have a pen on my desk here. And you can just take a look at that and observe it. and observe it just by saying, okay, what color is this pen? What is this pen made out of? How does it feel? Is there a scent to this pen? You can go as far as licking it if you want and tasting it. Mm-hmm. But simple, we have five senses, the taste, touch, smell, hearing, and sight. And so that is essentially a big core part of mindfulness, is using those senses, because a lot of times those senses are numb because there's information overload, especially in today's society. So taking a moment to actually observe something in your life that you haven't, you know it's there, but you haven't really observed. You haven't put attentional focus towards. So that's one exercise. You can actually do that internally as well. You can pick a part of your body and be like, okay, just in my stomach right now, what am I feeling? What am I sensing? Can I hear something? Sometimes you can hear your stomach rumbling. So attentional focus is just a simple exercise for mindfulness.
That's wonderful. I often teach intentional blocking too. And what I mean by that is taking a day. So you're driving in your car and you arrive at a location before going into a meeting, perhaps sit in your car just for a moment and list for yourself five things you can see, five things you can hear, five things you can smell, and so on. And just kind of just take that one little moment to really arrive fully and completely to that moment before going on to the next moment of your day. And again, it tends to bring a lot of clarity for people.
Yeah, because that's essentially what mindfulness is being in, some people call it the deep now, some people call it the present moment. But it is in complete and utter presence in where you are at this moment. That's essentially what it is.
Wonderful. Could you talk a little bit about how a complete man would support a partner going through the grieving journey?
Yeah, it's being there as a support, helping with the resources, providing love, providing a shoulder and someone to speak to, and understanding that, again, this is a process. Because a lot of the times when someone is going through grieving, the person that they are with or in a relationship with or close to doesn't really understand the process themselves. And there might be some judgment involved. So being non-judgmental is important. A core concept of Buddhism, for example, is curiosity. So rather than judging, maybe be curious about what your partner or person that you love is going through, asking questions, and also understanding that they may not have the answers. Because there's a simple question you may ask, you know, how are you feeling? What's going through your mind? They may not know, because they're in a state of grieving, which causes fogginess, for example, and a lack of awareness in a lot of times. So providing that space, that safe space, is the number one thing that a person can do, and being patient. There's also the other flip side as well, because there is a point in time, as a loved one, you may need to poke and prod that person to move past this. And everybody has their own pace to deal with things. But sometimes people, as I mentioned before, get conditioned to be in that state. And feeling, whether it's an empowering emotion like happiness or joy, or a disempowering emotion like maybe anger, maybe sadness, maybe fear, anxiety, is a feeling. It's a way for us to connect with ourselves. And a lot of people who are going through grieving may never have connected with themselves in the past. And therefore, now they are able to feel these emotions and it becomes addictive. Now they are stuck in this state of feeling like a victim and wanting to feel angry or wanting to feel sadness because it's making them feel something. And a partner will need to understand that sometimes that's not healthy, that an extended period of this is not healthy. It's not healthy for the person going through the grieving process, and it's not healthy for the other person being in this partnership. And so you may need to poke and prod and encourage this person, help them get resources. And unfortunately, sometimes what happens, we see this a lot with relationship breakdowns, because one person is not able to get through the grieving process. One person has tried to, the partner has tried to support them, but that person is just not willing to move or make the progress. So for that person supporting an individual going through the grieving process, also understand that this is not you. This is not on you. That person has to go through their own journey. It's not a reflection of you. As long as you are supporting them in what you are doing, what they're going through, it's not because of you. So understand that. Don't take this on yourself, because now you can be stuck in the grieving process as well. So understand what is good for your own mental health and emotional health. And you, there might be a period where you do have to say, okay, enough is enough. We need to move past this. So do whatever it takes.
I often say I can't do your push-ups for you. I wish I could, but you've got to do your own push-ups.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. No one can go into the gym, work out for you, and make you healthy.
Yeah, that'd be nice though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do I sign up for that? Where can people find you online, Pradeep?
Well, the easiest place is going to my website, pradeepsanga.com. I'm also active on LinkedIn the most, so feel free to connect with me, send me a connection request. Please do send me some kind of a note so that I am aware that you've listened to this podcast and you want to connect further. Feel free to send me a message as well. And sometimes on Instagram, but most active on LinkedIn.
Very good. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we sign off for today?
Well, if some of your audience is interested in listening to our podcast, which is specifically for men, but we have a lot of females, probably about a quarter of our listeners are females because it gives them a better understanding of their male partners, and they enjoy that. They can take a look at our podcast. That's another resource that we have. It's completemanpodcast.com, and it's called The Complete Man Podcast. So feel free to listen to that as well.
That's great. I'll put that information in the show notes as well, so people can just click and hop over and have a listen to what you're doing over there. It sounds fantastic. So thank you so much for taking some time with us today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Tammy, for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. We're grateful to our guests for sharing their experiences and knowledge of the grieving journey. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast, leave a rating and a review. You can follow us on social media through the links offered in the show notes. If you know somebody who could benefit from this podcast, please be sure to share it with them. A special shout out to Kevin MacLeod and Computech for the background music entitled Happy Dreams. If you yourself have a story that you'd like to share, please email me at reikiandyoga@yahoo.com. I look forward to speaking with you. Until next time.